Hijo. Crema.
Pick number six goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That means that Cleveland has jumped up. Cleveland jumping up into the top four. Oklahoma City getting that pick there.
Broadcasting live
ish
from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on the sunny shores of beautiful Lake Erie.
The third pick goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yay! In downtown Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
You tuned in to Wine and Gold Radio.
Switch! They're going crazy in the arena. They can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
Now, here are your hosts, Rafa, J-Mike, and Joe G.
Hallelujah! Yay, everybody.
Yay!
Yay, and welcome to episode, what are we, 16, 17?
All I know is this is episode of Wine and Gold Radio.
Yes, it is. And this is the special lottery, NBA lottery edition. The Cavs just, the lottery just wrapped up a minute ago. The Cavs will pick third this year, third overall.
I would say we won.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm totally happy. In fact, I'm just going to run them down real quick. How about that? Number one, Detroit Pistons. They won the lottery. That's and they had two all rookie guys. I think two all first team rookie guys. Did they not?
Yeah.
They had definitely two guys on the all rookie team.
Sadiq Bey and the kid from France.
The kid who kind of kicked our butts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Detroit picks first, followed by Houston, then the Cavs. Number three, four Toronto, five Orlando. Oof. I think they had to be disappointed a little bit.
Oklahoma, who won the
Oklahoma coin toss? Yeah, Oklahoma, and they have what I think they said they have 18 picks in the next.
Yeah,
you know, 4 or 5 years, a ton. Golden State, number seven. Number eight, Orlando again. Number nine, Sacramento. Number 11, New Orleans. Or no, number 10, New Orleans. Number 11, Charlotte. 12, San Antonio. 13, Indiana. And 14, Golden State again. So Golden State, they did pretty well.
And Orlando picked twice
in
the lotteries.
Yeah. So they both did pretty well. And Mark Tatum announced the thing. And I'm wondering, like, do you think Mark Tatum... Because I was thinking, like, Mark Tatum, he comes in, he announces the second round of the draft, but then Adam Silver does the first round, and he doesn't get booed. Do you think he kind of wishes he got booed a little bit?
Silver?
Yeah, Adam Silver, because, you know, like, Uncle Dave used to come out there and get booed every pick, and, you know, he kind of ate it up a little bit. I'm wondering, do you think Adam Silver kind of thinks, I wish they'd boo me a little bit? Because Gary Bettman gets booed. I mean,
I don't know,
Roger
man.
Goodell gets booed. He's the only commissioner that doesn't get booed.
Goodell is a different story because I think it got kind of.
I boo Goodell from home.
But it's different because in the NFL, I don't care who the team picks, especially the New York team, they all boo. They don't even know who the player is that they're picking.
I know, and that's what's so great about it. I like the New York fans that they boo. I don't like last year was kind of. I missed that. I missed that the Knicks fans and just getting pissed about everything. Anyway, hey, we have a special guest on today's program.
I'm excited about that.
J. Mike is, I think, he might be with his family in Western Pennsylvania.
No, what happened now is he's back from his state in the Carolinas. North or South, I forget.
Insane.
But the thing is that because of the offseason, Jared Allen has not been able to travel to fix his problems up in his house. So,
So
we have another guy coming off the – is it a bullpen that we have or we have –
We kind of do have a bullpen. We went to Tad first,
Okay.
We went to the Czar of the Canton Charge, and for this week we went out of state. We didn't even stay in state. We got former Cleveland radio host and producer and personality, and currently in Dallas, Dan McDowell. I don't know if people. Do people remember you, Dan?
Yes.
When you walk around town, are people kind of flocking to you?
Do you pay for a meal in Cleveland, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, do you like?
It's crazy. It's great. The good thing about the pandemic is that I could wear the mask and not as many people mob me.
I can actually
go to the grocery store in peace.
It's gotta be nice.
Were you a love on air personality, or were you a person that, you know? I have more experience on the other side of like that people weren't happy to hear me or see me. Were you a loved personality in the land?
I think because I was mostly known as a board op, I was beloved. The board op is always beloved.
It's like the backup quarterback, right?
The sniper can just play the funny drops. Yep. Doesn't really have to get out there and say anything.
And I must say, the board op is one of the most important pieces.
For sure.
For any show.
Very undervalued by management.
Very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, by the way, we talked about it earlier, in that Dan only seems to come to town for big things. Dan doesn't come for small events. Dan shows up the first time. Well, one of the times he came back was for Danny Ferry getting hired as GM. And Dan was a huge Danny Ferry fan as a player, so that was a big thing for him. And then Dan also came the last time the three of us were together. This happened.
Una atrapada, dos intercepciones. Y ahora viene y es Miles Garrett. No, se deshizo de la pelota. Y ahora está el pleito ahí. Y Miles Garrett peleando. Uy, peleando y lo agarra de la cabeza. ¿Qué le hizo? Le quitó el casco Miles Garrett. Y ahora viene el pleito. Uy, Miles Garrett tirando con el... Uy, uy, uy.
Uy, le dieron.
¡Patada! Tiró. El número 53 acaba de tirar una patada a la cabeza de Miles Garrett.
So that was the Miles Garrett incident. That was, what, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah. So for those who don't speak Spanish, that play was the famous Miles Garrett, which, again, we've talked about, and I said the Browns should have rode that. They should have said, we're the new Raiders, man. You mess with us, we'll hit you with your own helmet.
But I don't think, first of all, I don't think that's an attitude or a personality, a persona you can just adopt from one night to another.
Yes. No, I disagree. Once you hit a guy, you do that.
No, but the Raiders just win, baby, came from top. Al Davis was the root of that madness.
He would have swung a helmet at somebody.
Exactly.
He would have told Miles Garrett, get back there and hit him again. Yeah.
Hit him again. Go on the sideline. Hit more of them. Yeah. So I personally thought the Browns should embrace
that. Now, what's
your
take on that? I'm always curious about this because I always think that he thought he was punching him and didn't remember he had the helmet. Because how often do you take the helmet off in the middle of a confrontation or a game, or was he just really irate about this kid?
I think both those things can be true, don't you think? And I thought he was a bit perturbed. Like, you are going after me. Do you know who I am?
Yes.
I'm Miles Garrett. I can crush you so easily, and you're bowing up to me?
I agree.
He wants to fight with a bear. You got it.
And also, don't get mad at me for sacking you and throwing you on the ground when there's nothing you should be throwing the ball for.
And
the game is over, and you deserve to. You go pitch at your coach.
Yeah.
Not at me.
Yeah. Rudolph should have went over and hit Mike Tomlin in the head with his
helmet. There was no reason for them to be trying to do anything other than just take the knee.
That was the only time that I think they've given you, Rafa, the good play-by-play seat.
Yeah.
Because you were right there.
Yeah.
You were in the end zone.
Yeah. Yes. It was perfect.
That's the bad vantage point.
And I must say, I didn't know what was going on at the beginning. On my call, I had to go to English because I had to speak some English because I didn't know how. It was I never seen that before in my life.
No one's ever seen it before. That's why it was so. That's why it was so great.
I think we had you on our show in Dallas that week, did we not?
So Dan has a show in Dallas. You're on KTCK, The Ticket in Dallas. Give us a nice shameless plug.
You just did it.
Okay.
Go look it up. It's a radio station in Dallas.
It's awesome, though. It really is a great radio station. It's kind of a sports talk station, but they're probably a lot like Wine and Go Radio in that they start talking sports and it just...
Now, do you do a lot of cowboy stuff? Are you like in here, the sports talk here, they talk Browns. Even when the Cavs are in the playoff and about to beat the Warriors down 3-1, they're still talking about the offseason for the Browns. Is it the same way in Dallas?
If the Mavs were in the finals, we're not going to be reverting to cowboy talk. But it's always I said this the second I moved to Dallas. It's very, very much like Cleveland, the sports scene at least, where the football team rules everything. Mm-hmm. Like you said, a preseason game on up against a playoff game. If the Indians were in the playoffs, but the Browns are playing a preseason game, what would win the ratings?
The As far as the Browns?
Yeah.
The Browns will always win.
Yeah.
They'll always win.
And that's how it would be with the Cowboys. The Cowboys rule everything. That's what it's all about, you know. And it's probably just like the Browns. It just goes back generations. That's just how it was built.
Yeah.
And it's never waned.
And as far as a radio personality, I would imagine there's also something in common with the Cowboys in that whether they're good or bad, it's great radio.
Right. Yeah, I want them to do well because that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I would like to see them playing, you know, deep into the playoffs, but they never have since I've been there.
Yeah.
So that's also very fun too because you got, you know, stuff to rip on or some stuff to talk about all the time. And obviously with Jerry Jones, you're always going to have something to talk about.
So as far as like, so just kind of getting back to lottery a little bit, what are your thoughts on the Mavs? They're right now, they're in, I don't want to say turmoil, but.
No?
Well.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I was going to say, maybe the Mavs had the number three pick a few years ago, just like the Cavs.
Yeah?
And the Mavs got Luka, number three. Well, they had to trade to number three to get it.
Yeah. Either both.
You can get a Luka everybody. At number three.
Exactly.
But guess what? They just got rid of the person who actually knew who Luka was and who actually knew who all these international players were.
Donnie Nelson. Yeah.
Those guys are the ones that brought all these European people. Remember when his father coached the Lithuanian Olympic team?
Yeah. And I always am amazed that, and that's probably why they lost their job, with Vlade Divac and Peja, I think, were for Sacramento, and they took Bagley over Luka. And it's like, dude, you should be the European scouts. This should be a home run for you. How could you miss on that one? But they did.
And Phoenix had Luka's ex-coach on their coaching staff.
Who's that?
A lot of people, I don't know his name.
He coached
him in Europe.
Yeah.
And that's some people thought, that means Phoenix is going to take Luka.
Yeah.
Now, I must say, that pick is turning out to be okay now that we see in the playoff when Ayton is looking a lot better than he did.
Sure.
Last two seasons.
I mean, really, the whole top of that draft. And you can't really compare because, as far as Trae Young, because that's a better team. Atlanta has a better team.
If Luka was in the East.
Who else picked in front of them?
You put Luka on Atlanta, I mean.
Yeah, but who else was picked in front of them? Jaren Jackson, no?
Before Jaren Jackson went
fourth, yeah. And then,
yeah. And then
fifth,
fourth. Trae. So it's been exciting. I mean, I'm into it. But the Mavericks right now, what direction do you see? And also Don Nelson, you mentioned him, could be the coolest ex-coach of all time.
The old Don Nelson?
The old Don Nelson. When you see him now, man, he's just got long hair, long beard. He's just smoking a bunch of
Hawaii ganj and just hanging out with Willie Nelson.
The coolest story about it. Nobody knew back then, I guess, that Don Nelson was a pothead. Mm-hmm. But when he coached Lithuania, the Grateful Dead donated the uniforms. And if you see the pictures of the Barcelona Olympics, all the teams have like this either Adidas or Reebok, whatever brand was then, and the Lithuanian uniform was a tie dye jumpsuit.
How awesome.
Because it was donated by Jerry Garcia because of Don.
Really? Donnie coached Lithuania.
Yeah.
And he beat the U.S.
Yeah.
And that's when he stopped coaching international teams. He said he felt bad beating the U.S.
Wow. I didn't know.
No, he was a great guy. He's a very nice guy.
Very nice guy.
Are you familiar with the turmoil going on there? There's a
dude from Winnipeg, no?
There's apparently this guy named Haralabob.
He came from Winnipeg, yeah.
Haralabob Vulgaris, mm-hmm. who is a...
His name is... Haralabob Vulgaris?
Yeah, Bob for short, but Haralabob is his name, Vulgaris. And he was a very well-known NBA gambler and made big money gambling in the NBA and was hired by Cuban a few years ago.
Coming in at the right time.
But he was hired as a, the stat guy. Everybody's got a statistics guy now.
Yeah.
He was
a stat guy or like
analytical?
Analytics guy, that's what I mean.
Right.
Not keeping stats.
Right.
He's an analytics guy. Mm-hmm. And apparently there was some trouble.
Big trouble
in the front office where, you know, who is Cuban listening to the most? Is it this guy who's been here for 24 years, who found Dirk, who found Luka, who has all these connections internationally? Or is it this guy who made his name gambling, but in the analytics world, other teams were saying they didn't know who they were supposed to talk to when it came time to trade.
I gotcha.
And then the third is Carlisle. he was very well respected, and you know they would listen to him because he's Rick
and
Carlisle.
And worked very well with Nelson.
So now this Haralabob guy was thrown in there, and the thought is that Cuban, as a tech billionaire will do, he wants just the smartest people. He'll throw them in the room and say, figure it out. I don't care about your personality quirks, because Haralabob is a very, I don't know, what do you call it? The alpha personality,
strong-willed,
yeah. And you might say a jerk, but he gets his way. And Carlisle, exactly the same way. So they were butting heads. I think Donnie Nelson got tired of Haralabob's voice, you know, yeah, elevating above his, and he ended up leaving. And Carlisle then ended up leaving the
decided to retire.
A few days later. Not retire.
Just like leaving.
I don't understand how he can do that, by the way. He had a 5-year deal. He has 2 years left on his deal. He said he's stepping down, but he's going to continue coaching.
So he might be back in Boston soon.
Well, but I think
Indiana,
I don't know
as well,
if Cuban will demand compensation for it because he just left his contract.
Well, didn't they say it was mutual?
Yeah.
The Donnie Nelson one, they said it was mutual.
I thought Carlisle said that we both agreed to that.
Carlisle said, I am stepping away.
Right.
Because when Donnie first stepped away, even before that, there was an Athletic article that dropped, which was highlighting the fact there's a shadow GM and there's a lot of trouble at the top. Cuban had stepped out in big vocal support of Carlisle, because some people said Carlisle needs to go. And
which
he
could
said,
be the kiss of death, too.
Well, no.
Vote of
confidence, yeah.
I think Carlisle leaving blindsided Cuban.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? I
do think Carlisle was on a short leash.
You got to get out of Cleveland every now and then, man.
I thought was that Carlisle was rubbing Luca the wrong way.
And That's true.
And they were just afraid, like, we can't have him mess with the golden goose here.
I do believe.
And they also have a problem with the fact that Porzingis is another dude that is not happy there.
Right. And I think Haralabob was big in acquiring him, as was Donnie Nelson.
Yeah.
And I think Carlisle doesn't like him at all. And we had thought throughout the season, you know, either Porzingis or Carlisle probably has to be gone this summer.
Yeah.
And I think Porzingis' value is just too low to move him.
Yeah, his
contract's too big and his value's too low. So
yeah, he's got great hair. I give him
it
that.
It never moves. It's perfect. It's like, I think he gets it cut every day.
What is it with Dallas and people with hair that don't move? Remember Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, it's like, did you ever see like those old Devo videos where they just put on like that hair thing that was just like a helmet? Yeah, like a helmet.
Isn't that the name of the guy that dances disco at the Garden when they win? In Boston?
Oh, no, that's Gino.
Gino, okay.
I got to say, that was a great
that's cool.
bit.
That's great.
That was a great bit. They
still do it, but it's great.
They still do that. The Sixers still do their 1-2-3 76ers. Yeah. I like that. Cavs need to get that back.
You know what I think is what you guys more understand than we do? Carlisle's been there 13 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And they haven't advanced past the first round of the playoffs since they won it all. And there's only five other teams, I think, and it's like the joke teams of the league, the Sacramento, Detroit, Orlando, you know, Charlotte. The teams, everybody has advanced since then.
Yeah, once, right.
And those teams have had an average of 5 different coaches during that time. So to have just the same coach throughout that whole time, I just think Dallas isn't used to turmoil that the rest of the NBA. I mean, Donnie Nelson's been the GM for 24 years.
That's amazing. And how much do you think of is Carlisle just that he's still living off the championship, that they're just going to let him go as long as he wants because of that?
That's what we kept thinking, that they were going to let him.
And again, I thought Cuban wanted him gone. The fact that you say it blindsided Cuban surprises me.
But also, I think in the Western Conference, the Mavericks, and I don't know this from the top of my head, but they always run into these really difficult matches in the first round. If you go back.
Getting the Clippers the last 2 years doesn't help.
Yeah, right. It doesn't. You're real tight with you should be getting all this stuff because you're super tight with the Mavs play-by-play, Spanish play-by-play. Yeah. you should be getting this, man. You guys are tight.
He might file another complaint about
Hey, can I say that I love Wine and Gold Radio. Wine and Gold
Radio. Wine and Gold Radio. You like the polka?
I've listened to everyone. I wanted the polka to be played a little more.
Yeah,
I think it got a tiny bit of run and then just got shelved.
The wolf benched it. Like
I did.
And the one episode you were saying, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Yes.
The Canadian national anthem. You sang a little of it, but I don't think you ever followed up and sang the full thing.
I'm ready. We had the Czar of the Charge, which is our G League affiliate, who just announced last couple of weeks that they're moving to Cleveland to play at the Wolstein Center here at what is it? Concrete U.
That's your last episode,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Concrete State University.
I actually think that I could take that opportunity and go on a G League level and sing the O Canada there, so then I can be ready for the Rock and
Roll
Fieldhouse.
I guess Toronto.
Is there a Canadian?
Toronto,
of course. Toronto 905. Yeah.
I support you fully.
I do,
thank
too.
Thank you, and
you did a good job with it.
And I offer another idea the other day on Captain HQ.
You don't need John Michael there feeding you lines,
this.
Do you?
Listen to this. On Captain HQ, the TV show that John Michael and I do, and by the way, congrats to John Michael. He won an Emmy for Best Play-by-Play Regional Emmy.
And you guys were nominated.
Yeah, but we lost the pandemic in the Hoosier Land.
You did?
Yeah.
I want to see that now.
I want to see that documentary. We were in the wrong category. We were against pandemic in the Hoosier Land and riot reporting from like somewhere else in the Lower Lakes area.
It was like Jeff.
And then John and I interviewing Dogface, the dude with the skateboard drinking the Ocean Spray.
That's what I mean. You guys are interviewing the dude on the Ocean Spray commercial. And they're doing a pandemic.
Yeah, like, no wonder
that was like being like Jethro Tull in heavy metal.
But this is the thing. I mean, you might jump on board. I actually threw you in there.
We were talking
to Michael Strosky, who is the chairman of the Monsters, and the Charge. We were talking about the whole process of the Charge coming here and everything that we're going to continue doing in the city of Canton and everything else. And I offered the idea for when Toronto comes, I sing O Canada.
Yes.
And John Michael and yourself on the piano and Jones on the bass doing the Star Spangled Banner. Huh? That would be a hit.
Well, let me ask you this. If I'm going to do it on the piano, should I go right into it?
No, you should know. You know?
Do you know this? You said you listened. Do you know the story about Jones and the national anthem?
Yeah, I heard him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I told him before when he played, I said, don't go straight into, no. Like, do a little intro, right? But I didn't say to him, do an hour and a half intro.
So Jones gets up there for the national anthem and he's playing. He's going, bum, bum. And we're like, what's going on?
Everybody's waiting, like, wait, what anthem is that?
So it went, like, it had to be 20 seconds of just freestyle. And it gets done, everybody's like, No one said anything to Jones because, he'd squash you.
He's Jones.
But afterwards, Ralph was like, yeah, man, I told him. I said, don't go right into it. Rip for a while.
Like John Michael was saying, worst advice ever.
Yeah, like, that's the worst advice you could give him.
But I'm going to sing O Canada either at Rock and Mortgage Fieldhouse or at the Wolstein Center.
And you think we should accompany you?
Okay. I think you guys should do the Star Spangled Banner. John Michael plays the piano. You do as well. And Jones,
he probably plays the piano. I'm sure
we can get a singer somewhere. I don't like to sing the national the Star Spangled Banner because there's a lot of words in there that I don't know what they mean.
Ramparts. I mean,
or whatever.
Can you sing "O Canada" in Spanish?
So, I know I can do O Canada in English and in French.
Can you sing the Salvadorian national anthem?
Yes, but it's really long. But
do you speak French or you could just sing that?
No, I can just sing it. And then I can also do the Pledge of Allegiance for the Salvadorian flag. But it's really long, too. I used to do those for the...
I don't even know if I could do the Pledge of Allegiance for our flag.
You know, back home, and most Latin American countries, Independence Day is a very patriotic holiday. It's not about hot dogs and burgers and who eats the more hot dogs and
that's disgusting, by the way.
It's about the symbols of the nation and everybody does like they do a nice march and everything.
Nice.
So and you do the Pledge of Allegiance at school level. We have like acts for that. So I used to do that back in school.
In El Salvador.
In El Salvador, yeah. No, I don't recommend
the
you
the eating contest. That's not that you don't do that. I know you guys don't do it. No one should do that. That's not a sport or anything anyone should watch.
I think it takes away from what the holiday is.
I think it's disgusting. Period, man. It is.
And the only good thing about it is
where they dip a hot dog in water.
Yeah.
No, it's wrong.
Yeah,
it's bad. I think it ruins the purity of the, not that there should be purity to an eating contest, but you should have to eat hot dogs, man, not soaked hot dogs.
It's the risk and reward at the same time of what people think is entertainment.
I guess. I mean, but that.
So that's the steroids of the eating industry to you.
It's, well,
that's the spider tack.
What, when they dip them?
Spider tack is the way the pitchers are cheating nowadays.
You're saying the
dipping the water is
right. I mean, no,
that's just the level too far.
It's all disgusting.
And
it's
also,
you're a purist.
And also, it's not right.
Right,
it's not right. When
I miss the old days when guys used to shove 50
men.
Hot dogs.
Wait
right,
a minute,
man.
But they also, I don't like it when they just do the hot dog and then the bun. Eat a freaking hot dog.
Right.
Like, with bite the bun and the and
so
the,
what do they do? Like they
do the sausage part first, and then they do,
no.
the, they do
yeah,
the bread.
No. But competitive.
That's like the shift.
Just compete.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Right.
It's just taking away the integrity of the game.
Yeah. I just don't like it. So, anyway, I don't like to see that. Should we get back to the Cavs lottery?
Yes.
Who are we the number three pick.
Number three pick is not bad. There's some names out there, you know, I mean, that
you know what would be nice?
That you like, that I don't like, that I like, that you don't like.
Who do I like that you don't like?
I don't know. That's true. I don't. There's nobody.
I don't know. I think.
I don't want to say who you don't like because if we draft them, then.
No, it's not that I don't like.
They'll
hate you.
I
tell you what. If we get Jalen Suggs, we can play him like Cole from the UCLA beating. Who do they beat? Gonzaga beating UCLA.
Yeah.
I had that call this year.
That
would be the only good thing about doing that.
That's right. I forgot you made that call.
Yeah.
That was a great call. Another great one.
No, you told me you don't like Kispert.
That's the one that's the one I don't like. And I think now that we're at three, there's no chance.
You don't
chance.
Have to worry about it.
I don't like, you know, I mean, again, I don't like a pure 3-point shooter.
Larry Bird was a 3-point shooter.
And Larry Bird was everything.
Yeah.
Although I thought about this. What if you said Cal Corver, who hit, I think, the third most 3-pointers of all time, if you had drafted him number 9 overall that year and kept him, would that have been a worthwhile pick?
Give us a call.
Discuss. Yeah.
Did you say Larry Bird was a 3-point shooter?
Yeah.
Is that what your argument was? You know the most 3-pointers Larry Bird ever made in a season?
I have no idea, but
82.
Yeah, but back in the day,
He averaged one a game.
Yeah, but back in the day,
I'm just saying, I know.
It's crazy,
but
though.
But we grew up thinking, oh, my gosh, the preeminent 3-point shooter of our generation was Larry Bird. If anyone averaged, you know, whose record was Steph breaking? Well, it wasn't Larry Bird.
Yeah, Brook Lopez average is better. That's a better average.
But I mean, right.
At his best, at his peak, he averaged making one a game.
And what was his
Isn't that amazing?
That is. What was his most in one season? 82?
Yeah.
I would love to look at the list of NBA players right now and see.
Who hit more than 82?
Yeah. Who took 82 or made 82?
Made 82.
Still. I mean,
yeah.
Either way, I would love to know. Because again, it's probably there are centers that probably have made 82.
That is such a good angle to look at how the game has changed.
It's amazing.
But you know? I have a coworker I work with who's a high school basketball player, and he said he watches.
Wait a minute, work with a high school age kid?
He used to be a high school basketball player a long time ago, and he said when he was, you know, he's 6'4", so that was tall for his high school team, and he watches video of himself, and he would always shoot one step inside the three-point line because if he shot a three, his coach would yell at him because he's a big man. He shouldn't be shooting from that far out. So he would step 1 foot inside and shoot that, the most inefficient shot in the NBA.
Right, and now you would get corrected for that.
Right.
Right. I mean, they don't want you shooting.
Well, now you either take it to the hoop or get
yeah. I personally don't like it. I mean, I don't like the three-point. It's so prevalent.
But
I'll just be honest.
I do. I just think it's incredible that it changed, but no rules changed. The rule did change in, what, 1970-something.
That shocks me.
So, who made the first ever three-point shot in the NBA? It's another Celtic. He ended up coaching the team.
I'm going to say Chris Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember he was like a specialist, and he probably tried three again. Wow. Yeah, I don't like it. It's too much. It's too much three. And I think guys settle for three too much.
I think that the three-point shot, look at Utah, for example. Mm-hmm. You literally, that is the best way to, the three-point shot is the best way to describe that cliche of you live and die.
Exactly.
With the three.
Exactly.
Because that when you, I don't mind it, but I don't like it when that is your only or your first option. Because it just.
Well, I guess, yes. And I also don't think it has to be every NBA team's identity. If that's your identity, if you're good at it, you do it. But if not,
Can you win just shooting twos, though?
I guess not. I'm sure the analytical guys, you know.
Let's talk to Rob. What's his name?
What's his name?
Haralabob?
Haralabob.
What's his last name?
Vulgaris.
Vulgaris. Ooh, I love that name. Yeah. I wish that was my name.
Haralabob.
So, yeah, I mean, but the three-pointer is now prevalent. So, either way, the Cavs intend to get better. Last couple of years, they've kind of fit poorly in that. Again, number three pick. Should be a real nice pick. Number five, we got last year Isaac Okoro, who made all rookie second team, which I well deserved. I love that kid. I think he's got a great head on his shoulders. He's got an NBA body. They described his offense as being behind, but I don't think it is. So I'm on board with that kid. I'm just curious to see what we do.
I know we're going to get a good player.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, so I'm just looking forward to forward to breaking down film, Rafa.
Yeah,
I'm gonna break down film now for the next month. But we'll be with you throughout the draft process on Wine and Gold Radio. I want to thank Dan McDowell.
Are we done?
I think we're done.
Let's not be done. I got a couple things I want to bring up because I've listened to every episode.
Hey! If you guys want to keep going, let's go.
But just a couple things.
When you going to? What happened to the Corey Kluber story?
I could go all night.
I do have a Corey Kluber story, but I have a general just sports talk question for you, and it has to do with the NBA and see if you guys agree with me.
Is it going to get me in trouble or
no?
Okay.
So I just want to see if you guys agree with me.
Like the Russian dwarfs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have them on Kansas City.
Is this question about Russian dwarves?
No, it has to do with the NBA schedule. I thought when the pandemic hit and everything was up in the air and then everything came back at the same time, it was real. Obviously, that was really weird. But I thought here's a great opportunity because I think the schedule sucks just as far as the sports schedule in general. I don't like the NHL finals and the NBA finals kind of being at the same time or the playoffs at the same time. And it's kind of cool if it would have its own area. The NBA, in fact, last year had its own month, did it not?
I think there was overlap last year, too.
It just feels to me that I liked the NBA starting a little later this year. And it seems that all these sports are just saying, we're going to go back to the way it used to be. Because let's be honest, we don't need 8 months of baseball by itself or however many we get. We get too much base. That's all there is. Mm-hmm. And then in the winter, football pretty much can carry itself. It doesn't really need any helpers to it. But it sucks if there's a football game, a basketball game, and a baseball game and a hockey game the same night.
Mm-hmm. I think the problem is also that football is starting to be played every freaking day of the week. Because I don't see why there should be a problem with this Sunday.
Well, when you're number one, you people just kind of work around it.
They already took Sunday from Jesus, and now they're taking Thursday and Monday, and now they're going to play some Saturdays.
Why do you have to pit Jesus against the NFL?
Well, Jesus owns all the days.
They always,
really.
Right.
They always say NFL stole Sunday from Jesus.
Every day is Jesus Day, Rafa.
Except Sunday.
except for the NFL.
So have you guys thought that at all as far as working with the NBA? Would you like the schedule? You know, it feels like the NBA could easily be a summer sport. But I do know they love the Christmas Day thing. So I was thinking, why not Christmas Day as your opening day every year?
You know, I mean, I think that that's a – I think that that's been floated before, and I think
– I think it was floated down.
Right. I think
– as that opening day?
Yeah. I don't know how far up it got as far as
– It was thought of, I think.
But I know people love – people love that idea.
We want our summers, too. The players wanted the summer off.
Well, I mean, again, you could still – start then – do a 72-game schedule, which I don't think they'd ever want to get into, and maybe just make it go a little longer than it did. I think that, to Dan's point, as far as like an official thing, is that they don't want to really compete with the NFL.
Nobody does,
right.
But then again, if it was only Sunday and Monday night, one game, then you have the rest of the week to play your games.
Well, if your early season is just competing with the NFL playoffs – yeah, I mean, you're not going to win there.
Right.
But the early...
But again, if we start in Halloween is usually a pretty close...
October 19th is next opening night.
Okay. So, yeah, so a little earlier, but right there, the NFL season's probably only a month in. So now you're competing with the NFL for the next...
Right. Too much.
Too
so
much.
So I'm just saying bump it up 2 months and I end it 2 months later.
I would like that.
So June, right. July, end it in August.
I would like that because I would have all of so
you don't like
season.
That?
Man, that,
right now, I love that, the fact that our season is over either in May or in June, right, depending on how far you make it.
You love it because you want your summer.
Yes.
Exactly.
But I would love it because I would be able to work the NFL season without having to worry about any conflicts with the basketball.
And I just – then the NBA wouldn't go up against the NFL, and you don't want to go up against the NFL. I just think the NBA would do very well going up against baseball.
I think it would do great going against baseball. I can barely watch baseball.
I think anybody would do well. Right.
Speaking
now.
Of baseball, you're a big Yankees fan.
Yes.
And Dan is a big Rangers fan.
I was just telling him earlier about this Corey Kluber thing that happened, because I don't know if you knew. So Corey Kluber's on the Yankees now.
Uh-huh.
He was on the Indians.
He was in the Indians, and then he went with the Rangers, no?
He was with the Rangers for 1 year. And the Rangers, he was their opening day starter. Okay? Are you familiar with that?
No. Keep
okay.
going.
They're a pretty bad team. They're in severe rebuilding mode right now.
Yeah.
And
they've been rebuilding for like 20 seasons, but go ahead.
Right. So he was their opening day starter, pitched one inning, got injured. Yeah. And then that was it for his whole season. That was it for his Rangers career. He pitched one inning for the Rangers.
And didn't he no-hit them?
Well, so then he came – so then the pandemic happened.
Uh-huh.
That was the one inning he pitched was during the pandemic. They had no fans last year. They have a brand-new ballpark, which opened at the same – their old ballpark opened the same time Jacobs Field opened.
Oh, wow.
But they already got a new ballpark because they can bilk the money out of the taxpayers. That's another story. So, mm-hmm. So there were no fans last year. But Corey Kluber was kind of like the guy. They were going into the season with a lot of hopes on Corey Kluber.
Cy Young, I mean.
And then he got injured, pitched one inning. So they were supposed to have a Corey Kluber bobblehead night. And in fact, they had 10,000 Corey Kluber bobbleheads. So they kept them and said to themselves, if he comes back in town, we're going to give those away and to the game he pitches. So he was scheduled to pitch one night a month ago or so.
He got hurt.
No, he didn't get hurt. They had Corey Kluber bobblehead night against the Rangers. But so the opposing starting pitcher, you can get a bobblehead of him. And he no-hit the Rangers that night.
That's why people hate the Yankees, man.
Why? They're not
doing
well.
Because that kind of stuff happens to them.
They're not doing well right now.
Yeah, but they'll be there at the end.
I believe since – I saw this stat today. Since May 3rd – or wait, since – I can't remember the date. But the Arizona Diamondbacks compared to the Yankees, the Yankees have more triple plays than Arizona had wins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They have three of them this year.
Yeah.
What?
They had three triple plays.
They actually finished a game with a triple play.
They had a walk-off triple play the other day.
The Yankees did?
The Yankees, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They had three triple plays in 1 year.
That is insane. And then were they all round the horn triple plays, or were they weird triple plays?
Well, now you're asking me
now
too much.
Now you're like getting to like who you think you're talking to, Buster Olsen?
Too deep.
Could you go through the, was it 4-6-3?
Yeah.
They've had 3-8.
I remember the Rangers during the Yankees, you know, in the 90s, when the Rangers had this major power, offensive power, but the offense would score 14 runs, but the pitching would give up 15 all the time.
The Rangers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they always play the Yankees in the playoff for some reason.
And I believe they never won a game.
Yeah.
They were swept each time, yeah. Like three times?
Three times, yes.
Yeah.
Do you have a suggestion for the guys across the street? I heard they have like a list of 500 possible names.
For the Indians?
For the Indians.
You know which one? I don't even know if this one has been I've heard it thrown out at one point, but have they discussed Blue Sox at all? I think I've heard that.
That would be so bad.
I don't know if I think it's that bad.
I thought we're...
I don't mind it.
It's going to be the Spiders, right?
That's the one I like. I like that one.
Is that the way... Is that what they used to
be? That can't offend anyone ever.
Right.
What's the relationship
That's really
between,
the best way to go from now on is
what's
to
the
pick
relationship
an animal.
Between Cleveland...
And Spiders?
And Spiders.
I think they used to be the Spiders.
I know, but what's the relationship? Like, where did that come from?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is a thing, but if you're close to the lake, you have a lot of big spiders at your house.
Really?
That is the truth. I mean, that is.
Because but they were first the Spiders. They were also called the Forest Cities.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I think they should call it the Tribe.
They won't do
and
that.
I know if you're going to get away from it, you've got to get
saying.
Away from it completely.
They don't want to do a half measure. They want to do a clean break. You don't like Blue Sox at all?
How many freaking socks are you gonna have in the league?
Well, that way you have red, white, and blue socks.
Ooh,
they don't even wear
America.
They're not
America,
even
America's team.
They're not even the socks.
What do you got against America, dude?
Color. I spent one day. I used to have seats on the second row above first base, on a old Yankee Stadium, and Mo Vaughn was first base for the Red Sox, and I kept the whole nine innings. I kept going, "Hey Mo, yo Mo, Mo." And finally, like on the seventh inning, he came over to me and said, you know, what? And I said, dude, how come you're the Red Sox and you don't have Red Sox? Because what are those things called? Those little
stirrups?
Stripes?
Yeah, stirrups.
Yeah, that's what it's red. The socks are white.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
they may have used to be red.
You got
You
got Mo Vaughn's attention, and that's what you wasted his time with.
Did he have a well thought out answer?
Yeah. He just waved at me like, you know, gave me a four letter word.
Did you know the Rangers name is slightly controversial, but it never has picked up steam. In the name changing frenzy, it has been pointed out that the Texas Rangers were a group of law enforcement.
The 49ers were the people that went to California looking for gold and like.
Yeah, but I think I know where Dan's going with this.
One of their main duties were to round up escaped slaves and bring them back.
Yeah,
and they weren't really nice about it.
The 49ers weren't either.
Apparently, pretty brutal.
Yeah,
to
but that's two different things.
Yeah, but they went. They actually abused people.
One's a gold prospector.
No, but what they did.
One's a severe racist.
What they did to call. I'm gonna look it up for you to see what they did. But it wasn't nice what the 49ers did.
Well,
you know, a lot of people weren't nice back then. I've learned that.
really, as far as the Indians go, the best thing to do is to name it. If you're gonna have a sports team, name it an animal. Name it an animal at this point.
Is the name Indians controversial? Obviously,
yes.
The logo was.
You know, I mean, they're like Yahoo Sports, and if I'm not mistaken, one of their play-by-play guys won't call them the Indians anymore. They call them Cleveland or the Tribe.
Referring
Yahoo
to any
Sports,
group of people is the thing, right?
Well, they don't like it's they're Native Americans.
Yeah,
that's
true. They're misnamed from the beginning,
right? So I'm
whole indigenous societies were attacked and pushed off their lands by the gold seekers called 49ers. And they are proud to be called themselves 49ers.
And no one was nice to the indigenous.
Do you think they went up there with their picks and
yeah.
chased him off the land. You know,
yeah. But I'm saying, I think you're right. Everybody should go. If it offends somebody, it
change
is offensive.
It. That's what I say. Exactly.
Period. Don't ask for any more reasons or try to find.
Exactly. Don't fight it. Just
and in the case of the Indians, it is a big beef that needs to be, you know, they
right.
need to do something about it.
Yeah.
But the spiders, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that's cool.
I kind of like spiders.
I've seen the logo. I kind of like it.
I just like the idea of that, yeah.
Yeah. Same colors, you think? I think if you're going to go with spiders, maybe change colors.
Black and red? That feels like spider. Well,
it's Black Widow kind of spider.
Would they have to redo Major League?
Do you have to use the Spider-Man colors? Now, is Spider-Man your logo?
Yeah, no.
No, because then you got to pay Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, so no. But, I mean, I like spiders. But, I like I said, I kind of like Blue Sox. So that was cool. Because then you can kind of go Blues. Like, that'd be the nickname, the Blues.
I haven't even heard anyone mention that. And now you're saying, like, that's
a finalist. I'm going to get the ball rolling right here. That's where it starts. You'll be like, oh, I remember when Joe was talking about that.
You know, Joe, the that advertising executive who
now, would it be possible? I think, I don't know if this is correct, but I believe Pittsburgh is the only city that the three major league teams wear the same colors.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I do, too.
That is awesome, I think.
Yeah.
Me, too. Do you ever think Cavaliers will be offensive? I mean, they were dudes who ran around with swords, stabbing people, basically. They did. They got in a fight.
Vikings, same thing.
Right. Pillaging and plundering.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, you should maybe almost
but start- they have to – were they stabbing a certain group of people? That's – or they were kind of stabbing everybody. So
ooh, no Cavaliers. Cool. See, that's the thing about Cavaliers. Probably not. Only enemies, only people that offended them.
Yeah.
Somebody slap you with a glove and you're like, all right, I got a sword. So I think that's probably how that started.
Yeah. And some dude with a gun over
right, them. Right, right. And then the Cavs were just
– that's not good.
Yeah. So – anyway, okay, are you done with all your stuff? Did you get everything out of the way?
I think so. I just wanted to ask you that question, that the NBA schedule question fell quite flat.
Don't mess with my
I don't
summer.
Think it did.
I thought that would be something I'd bring up, and you guys would be like, oh, this is great. Let's talk about it. Let's take a break, and we're going to carry this over. This is really, really good.
Let's take some calls
yes.
out of this.
Don't mess with my summer.
I've had two.
See, that's very selfish of you.
Well, have you?
And I'm
you've
sad.
Listened to the show. You know how Rafa
I'm sad. I love Rafa. Rafa is a star.
My brother sent an email today saying that I gotta tell you the right story because my brother is very political, and we share different sides of the spectrum.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And he sent an
where's he live?
He lives in California.
49er.
No, he doesn't like anything that has to do with sports. But he sent something that Galileo. Was used to say that the earth rotates around its axis, right?
Right.
And the church kind of like banned him and say that he was wrong because according to the Bible, the world, you know, it doesn't rotate around its axis, but it's around
God.
The supreme.
Yeah, the sun, everything rotates around the earth.
So I said to him, I didn't want to get into the conversation, so I said, they're both wrong. The world rotates around me. End of conversation.
You're the black sheep of your family.
I like to call myself more like a psychedelic sheep.
You get different texts from your family than I do.
Yeah?
No one is texting me about Galileo and ever.
Yeah.
Well, you've shown me some of your texts with your brother. You guys go at it pretty good.
We do. But it's not all the time. It's every now and then he'll send me a text, and I'm in the mood of answering and getting in the back and forth.
And you were also a provocateur, so you're always poking the bear. Always, always poking the bear.
Yeah, especially with him. I've been all my life.
Yeah.
Like kind of poking.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, Joe G and I had conversations around politics, and very early in our relationship, sitting next to each other on the team plane, we kind of decided that we were just going to converse about politics and not try to convince each other
right.
on either one. So we actually have good, decent conversation.
Yeah.
With my brother, I can't because I'm wrong and he's right. and you know.
And your brothers too, so there's that that element. So.
And then you get to a point where I just got to say something just to piss him off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's.
Yeah, so. And you never do that to me. So, hey, before we go, we got to talk a little basketball, just real quick. Playoff predictions. We're into the Final Four now. So, who do you guys like?
Do you guys like this?
What?
The fact that we don't know.
I love it.
This feels like the NFL.
I love it.
I'm rooting for T. Lou and the Clippers. I don't care.
I am rooting for whatever team comes out of the East at this point.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
Why?
I don't really love the Clippers, and I dislike the Suns quite a bit. I dislike them. Other than Champ, who did a great job, and I have to say I predicted that he would one day win it because he's excellent.
You know what I got to get for you so we can play here on the show? My audio of one of the times that Giannis, that we were playing the Bucks, and I spent basically the whole night talking about Giannis every time he went out to the free throw line and how it took him so long. I literally counted on the air not only how long it took him, but I also counted the fact that he never does the same thing. He doesn't have a routine when he goes to the free throw line.
Yeah.
Sometimes he bounces the ball 10 times. Sometimes he bounces it 8 times. Sometimes he bounces it 6 times. It's crazy.
I think he's screwing himself up to be at this point.
You want to know the worst free throw bit going? It's developed over years, but it's giving high five to everybody after
you miss.
Yes. Yeah, that's
you
bad
shouldn't
bit.
Do that.
Right. And
the other teammates should not say no. You got to make one to get a high five from me, bro.
But then you hurt his feelings.
And they high five not only the two guys in the lane, but they go behind.
Yeah, they go back and time, every miss.
It's too much. Maybe that adds to like all the things you have to think about. Man, I got to.
Yeah, now I got to touch everybody's hand.
Right.
Yeah, but I first pick is T. Lou, because I love T. Lou. I don't, you know, he's the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then. Maybe, you know, Champ on the other side.
So you want both Western Conference teams?
Yeah, I think the two Eastern teams are just.
See, I like Nate McMillan. I like, you know what I like about the Hawks? I like that they went back to their normal colors. They have nice Hawks uniforms now, and I like that. And I like Trae Young. He's good. He's fuzzy.
Trae Young's fun. Giannis is fun, only that.
Giannis is fun.
And Milwaukee is like Cleveland.
Exactly.
Don't you want to give something to those poor people? They get anything.
I can't stand him.
No. That's his answer. No, I can't stand him.
It's just like
that's how
Cleveland.
He feels about these.
The Milwaukee fan is exactly like Cleveland.
No, it's
downtrodden.
Yes, he is.
You know, can I bring another thing? I'm glad you mentioned fans. Now that we've seen the playoff and the fans are back.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's great.
I know some people are acting like they've never been outside, but I don't think it has anything to do with the pandemic or anything. Just for another show. There's a lot of things that I miss, like the fans, the Phoenix in four guys. Kind of,
I was telling him about that. is it a bit where Phoenix fans beat up on
us? I just realized I also did not miss all the other side stuff, like that dude that takes his shirt off and throws it into.
That guy's your nemesis.
Your friend, what's his name? I don't know.
You've seen him in NBA. He goes to NBA games during the playoffs and. It's supposed to be like he's a guy in the stands, but he's really a setup.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he runs up and down the
hate setup. I hate the setup.
Bit. I hate
Rafa
it.
Rafa hates him. It's Rafa's
nemesis. Not only that. Not only you hate setup, it's like you hate the fact that the guy, you see him on Saturday in Phoenix and then on Sunday in Los Angeles, like cheering up the crowd. It's like, dude.
Right. The only good setup bit is when
like kiss cam
so-and-so no it'll be so-and-so well there's a good kiss cam bit, but when it'll be like Domino's is sponsoring or Pizza Hut or somebody's sponsoring a seat giveaway, and we're
those are good
so it's somebody from the 300 level gets, you know, courtside or gets on the glass at a hockey game, and so the Dallas Stars would do this so the Stars are playing the Red Wings, so now they show the people, they show that now they're going, and you see these Stars fans walking down, and then you see the two people in the seats are wearing Red Wings jerseys, and they kick them out, and they put the Stars fan, you know. So that's the only funny setup.
I love the kiss cam setup. So they're like the guy doesn't want to kiss her because drinking his beer, so she turns around and kisses the guy.
Yeah, on the other side. I love that stuff.
When they put it on two players at the end.
Yeah.
The last
see,
kiss cam.
But they don't do that anymore. That's not allowed. That's been,
really?
I don't want to say not allowed, but that is a no-no.
They did that with the Stars, and a very memorable one. Years ago, Bill Guerin, who is now the GM of the Minnesota Wild, but he did a weekly show with us, and he was on the Stars, and they put the kiss cam went to all the fans, and we're yelling, and they put on a couple old people, and everybody loves to see old people kiss. Yep. Like, oh, man, look, old people still kiss. And then they put it on Guerin sitting next to Mike Modano, and he reached over and gave him a kiss on the lips.
See, that's
and the
great.
Place went nuts.
Yeah, but I'm telling you now that is
– Maybe it was on the cheek.
That's kind of awesome.
Might not have been lips.
But that is that's a no-no now.
Why?
Because –
It implies,
yes.
it implies that they're gay and there's something wrong with that. And
precisely. Okay. Yeah. Precisely. That's what it is. It makes it that's.
Well, maybe the Raiders have changed that.
Yeah. I love it when they have the guy with his arm around the girl and he sees it's in Humongo Throne and he takes the hand.
It's like, yeah. Oh, damn.
Yeah. You know, Dan was actually part of. You've probably seen him because you've done a million games in Dallas. Dan was part of the, what do they call it, the Maz Maniacs? You've seen these guys, the big – this is back when well, – now you're kind of a skinny guy, but back when the Mavs Maniacs, they were the
– I lost
overweight
the bet.
Guys.
Yeah, they're very fat.
You ever see them?
No. Not the dudes that come here and dance disco.
We kind of co-opted that bit, but I think the original were the Mavs Maniacs and who they still have, and they're a bunch of overweight dudes that kind of can dance, and they really are good too.
Yeah, they train with the regular dance team would train them, and
yeah.
I did that for 2 weeks to train for a dance because I lost a bet and I got to dance with the Maniacs.
It's probably harder than you think, right?
It's incredibly hard for me too. I can't dance. Look at me.
I love it. See, like I'm John Michael.
Do you do the dancing grannies?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you guys have that? Or?
Yeah. No, we have that. We have.
We do one hit wonder.
Anybody, I think the Mavs Maniacs might have been the first though.
That's what I think they were
league.
Too. But I mean,
we do fat one hit wonder rappers.
Yeah. Those are halftime acts.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
See, one of our guys, our other partner, John Michael, does. Like, I love that he doesn't pay attention to any halftime.
I know.
Acts. He can go the whole season. On-air
partner, Jake, does the Mavs post-game show too. And every game after the next day, he would grade the halftime show.
He's a
halftime show connoisseur.
That's excellent. See, I would like to talk to him.
You should book him, yeah.
I would like to talk to him and see what his top three or five are.
My father is bothered by the fact that they don't show the halftime act on TV. I said, Dad, they gotta pay the bills. They gotta, you know, they gotta do commercials. Like, no, but they should show.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not.
They should show the halftime show.
Yeah. The only thing is it loses something in translation. It does.
How?
I don't know. I think it does. I think if you do
is the quick change not what it could be?
One of the quick change people died.
Pass. Yeah. Yeah. The guy.
Yeah. But like Steve Max, who does the
moment of silence.
Yeah, let's do a moment of silence for quick change.
I changed already.
Well deserved.
Yeah, like Steve Max, who does the Simon Says.
Yeah, right.
He's excellent. But again, I don't know if that would.
Yeah, but that's
when they bring in the high school band
by the
or
way,
something.
I really want to hear Jake's list because I mean he does the old
that
guy,
shouldn't be
the
a
old guy that gets on the chairs. I like that guy.
Yes,
gets real.
I forget
high.
His name.
I don't know.
Who's the most favorite? Red Panda.
No,
Red.
Come on, man.
She's the most famous.
Come on,
she's very the most famous. I think. Rafa doesn't like her.
No, I don't. Well,
the song
I don't
is it?
Like
is it the
she
song
just,
that you hate?
She needs an update.
She does. She does. My favorite, personal favorite, is the Firecrackers. The girl, with the jump rope.
Oh, the jump rope.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you why I like it. First of all, people go nuts, and I think they go nuts because when they come out, you think, oh, here's these girls from like Westlake High or from like Lorain Catholic or something. You think they're just girls from like local. And then they do all that crazy that jump rope stuff, and it blows your mind. And
my favorite is Christian and Scooby because he's a friend of mine. So.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, I've got my favorite and the worst.
It makes me laugh that he was sitting next to you when Larry Nance hit that.
Yeah.
Hit the game winner against Indiana.
No, but how about in Denver?
Did he have the Chihuahua with him?
Of course. In Denver, we were doing the game against the Nuggets, and then he had the halftime show, and Joe G goes like, what is that guy doing sitting next to you? Because he was sitting next to me, didn't he?
Did he have a shirt on?
Yeah, he got his, shadow. You like that? You like that halftime show? The guy with the chihuahua who does like aerobic, like handstands, and then the chihuahua does the handstands as well?
Yes. I'm not against it.
Which one? The, you're talking about Chihuahua
Christian
and Scooby?
And Scooby, yeah.
I'm not against it. My favorite does he is just one that Joe hates.
Not the Bucket Boys. Or
I love the
like.
Bucket Boys.
What? You, no, you don't.
The Bucket Boys.
He's just messing with
they
me.
They play music on buckets.
It's
so entertaining.
We have one group here that is a part of the
internet. All they need is buckets.
But our guys play like garbage cans and ladders and stuff.
Let me tell you the worst thing, though, is when they have the guys, guys jumping off trampolines and dunking.
Yeah.
We have that, too.
You want to know why it's the worst? I just watched a half of guys who didn't need a trampoline.
Like, why are you sweaty?
Who could dunk every time down.
That's true.
More impressive dunks than you're doing with a trampoline, and now you're...
With a guy defending the rim.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, with a guy, trying to stop you.
And now I'm watching a guy with nobody trying to stop you and a trampoline, and, you dunked. I'm supposed to be impressed now.
All right. Well, let me say this, then. What if you did that and you had somebody defend it?
Like, he has his own trampoline?
Or he has his own trampoline.
He has to time it?
Right.
Okay.
And he gets to, like, defend.
Now we're talking.
Okay. Somebody would get really hurt.
That wouldn't be, but it would be totally entertaining.
And they have to be in some kind of a mascot
costume. You know what bit I like?
You know what's a great bit? Speaking of mascots, have you guys ever seen the bit where they do a tackle football game where mascots tackle the little kids?
The kids, yes.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, my really God. Tackle them.
And they really tackle them. They beat the crap out of these little kids.
Speaking of beating, I like the bit that Robin Lopez does with the visiting, with the, home,
the, mascots?
With the home mascot, when he beats up and he gets into fights with the mascot. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if they play much of it now. Obviously, with the pandemic, it kind of went away. But I like that bit.
Yeah.
I think that's something that he's done for himself, and he actually even made money because he made a commercial about it and everything.
Yeah, and it's organic. I mean, he kind of just came up with it on his own. And
I'm sure all the mascots love the fact that they can actually be part of the
– Yeah, yeah.
I'd like a documentary on the life of a halftime performer.
Who's your favorite mascot? Other than Moondog?
Oh, that's – well, other than Moondog? Yeah. That's hands down. It's not even close.
Who?
It's
not the Rockets guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
It's him and
– I like the guy in San Antonio.
It's Clutch and – no. There's Clutch and Moondog and everybody else. But Clutch is the king. I love that guy.
What's he do?
I love Clutch. He does the – he does the cake in the face, but there's a thing. I wish I could show listeners this, but one time he did a video, honest to God, Garen Narain and I, who former PR guy, where he goes around. It was a video they showed on the Jumbotron where his bit is he smashes a big birthday cake in somebody's face. There'll be somebody, and it's a plant, somebody dressed as a Cavalier.
Somebody from the
Cavs, and he'll, he runs up the aisle and smash a huge birthday cake in their face. He did it. There's a video, I should tweet it out later, where he just goes to a San Antonio fan and a Cleveland fan, and they're washing their car or golfing, and he just runs up and just smashes them in the face with the cake. And
I love his bit with Foreman.
Oh, and also he's got like a little chubby.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen that guy? He's got like a little chubby dude in a spacesuit. It's a silver spacesuit that runs in like his assistant.
Yeah, yeah.
He's this little chubby guy. And I like that he has that stupid smile on his face the whole time. So, yeah, if you're going to ask me, Clutch is my favorite.
Yeah.
You? Who's yours?
I like, again, not with the Moondog and Cavs and Sir CC. I like the San Antonio guy. I forget his name.
The Coyote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's cool. It's
That's a good one.
I hate Hugo.
The Hornet?
The Hornet. Because I saw him do something once that was kind of a...
You're such a hateful person.
Kind of a... I don't know if I can say it here, but kind of a dick move. We were playing the Hornets, and our seats are in the middle level, and we get there early. So I was greeting some of the fans that were there, and there was a Cavs fan on crutches with one leg on a cast all the way up to her knees. So I asked him, and I know obviously the mascot can't talk, but,
you talk to them, they listen. So I said to the
guy. You say obviously, as if everyone.
Yeah, so I said to him, I said, hey, listen, can you help me out? She's trying to get to his, to this seat. And I was about to go in the air or something. And I saw the dude walk the girl on crutches down this section, across it to another one, and just left her there. Like, he literally took her the wrong way. I'm like, dude, that is not, that is just not cool.
But it's kind of funny.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's like, it wasn't cool. It's like,
that's not chivalry, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He's a hornet, man, you know? I mean,
yeah, if you're a hornet.
His tongue, he's, I guess so.
And, you know.
I don't like him.
I like Bango, the guy, Milwaukee, used to climb on that big ladder and then dunk.
Remember the gorilla from Phoenix? Is he still around?
Yeah. I think, yeah, the Phoenix gorilla. He used to come out on a big Harley. Remember that? Boom, yeah. Boom. That was kind of badass. See, now that's a great logo. That's a great mascot. And plus, it's like it's like a cheap gorilla outfit.
And my question is, what's the relationship between the freaking gorilla and the Phoenix Sun?
You know what?
In the middle of the desert.
You don't need an excuse to have a gorilla for anything. I hope.
Come on.
I hope the Indians change their name to that.
To what?
The gorillas. The gorilla.
Is it like the San Diego chicken? It didn't really have any meaning, did it?
Right, that's true.
The San Diego chicken was the old most famous mascot. But yeah, the Suns gorilla. Now, he probably made his name on a trampoline.
Yeah.
Dunking basketballs. That's the only way you can make that worthy. Either have a defender or put him in a gorilla outfit.
The Suns
and
gorilla.
And as far as baseball, there's only the Philly Freak is kind of the king, right?
The Philly Fanatic.
The Fanatic, right?
Yeah, because the other mascots are just.
And then I've also heard, and I'm not a hockey guy, you guys both are, people love the dude in Philly, the whatever that thing is.
The best bit in hockey is when they throw the octopus in the
there's a Philly, that goofy looking, you've seen it, right?
No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
You? No?
I feel like I know what you're talking about.
He's
but
got
I don't.
A name. Yeah, he's like the, I think he's kind of the king, the Philly guy, the Philly mascot. I wish I knew.
Do you think Becky Hammon will be a head coach this year?
Should be. I hope so. I mean, I believe she's, not because, just because she's a woman, but I think she's earned. I mean, how long has she been an assistant? And it can be, what, 5 years already? 3-4 years?
Do you think the Mavs job is the best job open?
That's a good job. The Celtics job, pretty nice, too.
Portland?
I mean, the Portland's
would you
a nice
wanna,
job.
Would Indiana, you want to be Luka's coach?
Indiana's a nice job? No.
You wouldn't want to be Michael Jordan's coach?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, yes, if I had the opportunity, but if I had the choice, I would rather coach
I don't think that
Indiana
would be the best.
Or yeah. I don't think I'd want to coach Luka. I mean, again, Luka starts getting in a bad mood with you, you're done.
But if that's the way your mindset is, then
yeah,
what kind of
got,
coach are you? Wouldn't you want to be LeBron's coach when he was young?
Again, yes, I guess.
You instantly.
But if I had my choice.
You
have
the toughest puzzle piece to put together.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's what
that's true, but I'd rather have a good.
That's where you got to have a coach that has everything and not just the basketball knowledge, you know, because you got to be a psychologist. You got to be a friend. You got
to
be a
That's what today's coach has to be anyway.
I know, but I'm saying when you have a superstar like that, because T. Lou, you know, the stories that come out is like when he got on LeBron in halftime of game seven.
Right,
and
right.
left LeBron mumbling, you know. Into
right,
like,
right. The Damon Jones.
You,
yes,
you know, it's like that, you got to have that kind of
But
bone.
I'm saying you got to have, you know, it helps to be a former player. I think it really does help big time.
Yeah, but I think you earn that respect as well. I mean, if you haven't played.
But if you haven't
Look
played.
Look what Spoelstra did.
Yeah, but he.
He's well thought of now.
He is now. But Spoelstra had to work a long time and climb a long road to get to that.
But he's not where he is now if he didn't coach LeBron.
Yeah, but LeBron, he was already the coach there when.
He was already.
I know,
champion.
But it was still rough. LeBron tried to oust him.
Right, but again, I mean, that's so yeah, you're answering your question in that I don't want to be if I had my choice of jobs, I would not want to be at a job where one player can get in a bad mood with me, and now I'm really screwed. Now my job is in jeopardy. And
well,
now,
isn't that like then Phil Jackson wouldn't have taken the Bulls job?
Well, you're asking me what job would you like? I'm not Phil Jackson. I'm saying.
Well, I'm saying what's the best job out there?
The best job? Again, I don't know if it's Dallas. Because as we've discussed, I think Dallas's roster outside of Luka is weak.
I think it depends who you are.
Yet there's going to be a lot of pressure
for
to win
Rick
that.
Carlisle.
Right.
It might be a team that he can just go in there and finish up putting it together or whatever.
Well, again, like
right.
For Becky, maybe the Indiana job is the one that
but again, even that, like these are jobs, all these jobs, you know, they're not a Sacramento job where you're like, okay, young guy, start over, build it up. It's like you go to Dallas. Dallas is expecting Western Conference Finals now. They're expecting big things. If you take that Portland job.
Yeah, but we just heard they haven't made it out of the first round.
Well, but either way, then you got
they're expecting at least a first
right,
round.
Now you have to advance. Succeed. Same with Portland. Now it's Portland. It's like, hey, you've been getting bounced. Now they got to get a coach to take them to the next level. It's not a learn-on-the-job kind of thing. Now,
right.
Same with Indiana. I mean, Indiana, those guys got to be looking around thinking, hey, why are we out of the playoffs? This is not right, especially with how good Nate McMillan did. So I think there's a lot of good jobs, but Dallas, I don't know. I don't know if Dallas is a great job for that reason, but again, I don't think the roster's strong around Luka, and if Luka doesn't like you, you're done. So
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, certainly the good coaches are ones that they are good, but you wonder how much it really does matter. Because Popovich isn't taking a group without two superstars to the finals.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's a great coach. Steve Kerr is a perfect example. Steve Kerr is a wonderful coach, but...
Yeah, but look at all the stuff that he's been able to manage, though.
But again, like this last year in the playoffs, Luka, for example, Lillard, for an example... You know, guys get bashed for team jumping and being on a super team. But when you're Luka and you see, man, I got no help, and you're Damian Lillard and you're thinking, man, you know, I'm scoring 50 and we're losing. I mean, these guys got to be start at some point thinking.
But to be fair.
Am I going to spend my whole career scoring 50 points in playoff games and losing?
But to be fair, Luka and Damian are in totally different situations because Lillard has been there how long doing the same thing? Luka just started.
And Luka doesn't want
to.
And
Luka doesn't want to get to that point.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's not where Lillard is. Lillard has been like, I mean, running to the Warriors, running to the Clippers. The Clippers went down, the Warriors were down, the Lakers are out, and they still don't have. Not even a conference final.
Right. And I'm saying, and that's what I'm saying, is Luka at that and say,
get there,
right, I don't want to be that guy.
He needs help, for sure.
Big time. So, I don't know, like...
Being from Cleveland, though, I reserve the right to jump back on the bandwagon at any point.
For the Cavs?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, now we got the number three pick, so... Yeah, really, the Cavs are close. The Cavs are really close, I do believe that.
They're close, and they're in a situation where next year is going to be very key and
very
pivotal to what's going to happen here with the,
yeah.
And I think, again, you know, with JB at the helm, with the players that we have, with the health that we expect to have and that we hope to have.
Yeah. This is when, you know, I've said this before.
Talk to us on July 24th when we know who's going to be coming in. Are you flying over there to where the draft is so you can take the plane back, the private plane, the way you did with Kyrie and Tristan Thompson?
I didn't fly. I just met him at the airport. They never.
Oh, you didn't took the
They never. You know, actually, one time I did take a – I did fly on Dan Gilbert's private jet. Mm-hmm. And it was
– That was for what?
It was the worst flying experience I've ever had in my life.
Why is that?
We flew, we were flying to the All-Star game, and we had to fly from Cleveland to Detroit to pick up some, maybe even Dan and a couple people. And the winds were so bad that day. Terrible. It felt like the plane
felt
was...
Like Buddy Holly?
Yeah, it felt like the plane was flying sideways. And I've always told this story in that Randy Mims, who, you know, LeBron's guy, ran up the aisle and was puking in the bathroom. I'm never afraid on a plane because I always figure that's the way I want to go. It's going to be quick.
There's no reason to be afraid because it's
right.
going to happen.
It's going
to
happen.
LeBron was on that plane?
LeBron was on that plane and we were flying.
If that had gone down, we were. You would not be known in history.
That's
at all.
What I mean. I'd be there'd be nothing. You'd just be like a
glob. Because there was somebody else on Buddy Holly's plane.
A globule, yeah. Right?
Like Richie Valens.
There was a Joe G.
Richie Valens.
But no, but there was a Joe G.
You would be
too.
Richie Valens. You would be
Richie Valens.
Richie Valens. Right. Right.
There's a Joe G. on that plane you've never heard of.
Right.
There's
somebody's
somebody.
Like, hey man, I was on that plane too, and they're like, yeah, but Richie Valens was on that plane.
Right.
So yeah, I would have been that guy, but I just remember really that. And LeBron's mom was playing cards, because LeBron always played cards, you know, on the plane. And then LeBron's mom was playing cards on the other table. And everybody, all LeBron's buddies, Rich Paul at the time and Randy, they were all afraid. And they stopped playing cards. And LeBron told them, deal them cards, man. And they kept playing cards as much as they could.
Like, was he just cool?
Cool as a cucumber. I mean, he was just as...
There's nothing you can do.
I know. Yes, you're right.
You thought you were going
to
die.
Right, but I didn't think I was going to die, but I was to the point where you were afraid. Now it's to the point where...
What were the odds? I mean, over 50% that you're going to go down.
I don't think it was that high.
Okay. You said it was bouncing.
It just feels like it.
It was bouncing. I mean, it was. If the plane felt like it was, I was sick, I was getting sick.
It feels like you're going.
Yeah,
down. Yeah.
It was. You feel that was the only time I really felt like I was afraid. Like I'm afraid. Things are. And LeBron was totally not afraid.
But, Sully, overrated or not? Go.
No.
Not at all.
Oh my God, no.
Damn. No.
Are you going to say overrated for Sully?
I've heard from quite a few pilots. I live in a city that's the. It's a. International airport, and we have a lot of pilots that live around us.
And what are they
and
saying?
They've said
that they could do it.
We all could have done that.
Oh, please! That's crap.
Like we deal with birds all the time.
That's crap. So what? Yeah, they couldn't land in the Hudson.
You don't deal with birds landing in the Hudson in the winter.
No way. No.
They're very care. Unimpressed. And now
you know what?
I'm unimpressed.
You know what?
I've done the research, boys.
I'm unimpressed with those pilots. I think they're jealous. That's exactly. They all think they could put the plane down in the Hudson. Like
they're like, we're all trained to do that. It's not that thing.
That's crap. I don't believe them.
It's like somebody that made, they're like, you know, what'd you made 4 out of 10 free throws.
That's ridiculous. I call BS on that.
Well, you don't live around pilots. You haven't talked to any, have you talked to one pilot about it? Probably not.
No, I haven't.
You're just impressed that because you watch Tom Hanks do it.
Well, I mean, it's impressive, man.
I'm just saying.
It's impressive, like that.
Things are impressive that you don't know anything about.
Well, what do you like? The time,
you don't know anything about that.
Well, how about the time Denzel Washington flew the plane upside down and landed in a field? You don't think that's impressive?
I don't even.
What did your pilot say about that?
We haven't talked about that.
Well, ask him. They're probably gonna say, "Oh, Denzel's he's a stiff man. Anybody can fly it upside down." That's ridiculous.
Well, now you're creating a hypothetical to put down my pilots.
Well,
whereas my pilots are.
I think your pilot is full of it.
Wow, see?
I agree.
Because this is slander.
Unless you find yourself in that situation, which only Sully has, and he's the only one that we know has actually brought the plane down and landed it on.
Right.
Here's what you guys are going to do
Dan's,
this year.
Dan's going to roll into town, and man, my pilots say that Sully.
Not overrated at all.
Next time I see you guys, I want you to have talked to at least a few pilots.
Next time we go to Dallas, I want you to bring that pilot around, and we can talk. We can call BS on him.
So you'll be in a team flight, and all of a sudden—
I mean, he's a pilot that's been through training. You're two guys who saw a movie. So now you're trying to tell me that
guys,
you know better than—
Guys, it's only happened once. No guys have ever done it, ever. Ever. Right?
I don't know.
Well, how many times have you heard about a pilot dropping a 747 in a river?
That's like that's
well,
like,
how about Sully? They wouldn't have had to do that if it wasn't Sully.
But that's like the
that's
guy
what I'm saying.
The other pilots take off and they're fine.
Well,
that's like the guys
Sully's
that did
like, no,
the simulation. That's like the guys that did the simulation of if they were Sully and they actually landed at Teterboro or landed back in LaGuardia. Because you remember that part of the movie where they say they kind of knew what they had to do and then when they did him, like not giving them any warning, they just couldn't land the plane.
Hmm.
The people that were actually pilots doing the simulation couldn't land the plane. So,
there you go.
I think Sully is Brett Favre with a comeback. Well, he threw 3 interceptions in the first half. That's why you're down by 20 points. Okay, now you came at
so now you're now you're blaming Sully.
I'm blaming Sully for even having to do that in the first place.
Slander on Sully.
I mean, you guys are making stuff up, so now I am.
That bad.
Dan's going to be flying back to Dallas, and the pilot's going to plant the plane right in the Mississippi River. And Dan's going to be right before Dan gets on that like that slide. He's going to be like, "Eh, I know pilots in Dallas, man.
They can do this.
Pilots in Dallas can do this in their sleep, man.
Make sure you let
maybe
me know.
Dallas guys are always jealous of New York guys.
Make sure you let me know who those pilots are. So I'm flying through Dallas next week, so I don't want to get into one of their planes.
I just want you to just ask your pilot next time you run into your pilot to say, "Hey, what do you think of that Sully character?"
That's a great idea. When you get on your next plane,
I'm going to do it Saturday, and I'm going to record it.
Yeah.
You guys go on the Cavs plane?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have access to a pilot.
So next time you get on a plane, you're flying this week. Ask him. Say,
"What do you think of Sully?"
I'm going to act like
I had a friend
reporter.
Who's telling me that.
Just say Sully.
I'm going to ask him like a reporter.
Just say you could do that, right?
Yeah, you would have done that. And he'd be like,
"Rafa here reporting for One and Go Radio Live."
Just get on the plane and be like, "Hey, dude, if you see
I'm going to knock on the door. Like, hey, excuse me.
If you see any birds, can you put this thing in a river?"
Just make sure you put it. If you put it in the Lake Erie, just make sure it's like close to the edge so I can get up because I need to run across.
See, now I have to end the show. We're getting silly. I'm not gonna sit here and let you badmouth Sully. I just won't do it. I won't. So anyway, let's wrap up episode 16. I think we're on.
Yes.
16. Okay, we're on episode 16. Our special guest, Dan McDowell, who did a great job right before he blew everything with that Sully thing.
Yeah,
it was all good right until that point. But thanks for joining us, Dan.
If you can't handle the truth, that's...
Dan McDowell, thank you for joining us. We're not going to do any thank yous. We don't do thank yous
Go
in the offseason.
Where's the hardest working man in podcasting?
Except for D-Mac. That's the only guy we'll thank. And Ruffin, stop shaking your head. He was here working tonight.
Working
his ass off. Whatever he does. Everything. Whatever he does, he was here working tonight.
What about Marty Allen?
Let's go, Big Daddy.
Yeah, okay. You're right. Marty Allen, Big Daddy. We got to give it to Big Daddy. And Dirty Kurt, as long as we're... I think those three guys.
I told you I'm
things.
A listener, man.
Yeah. Let's give it to those three guys and
Rafa,
nobody
it's just
else.
So cool to sit here and live with you.
He's like a groupie.
Love Rafa. I tell him every time I talk about the show, I'm just like, Rafa, man.
He's like Rafa. He's like that dude.
That show's nothing without Rafa.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I wish that would let us do a show of Joe G and Rafa.
Just off the...
Uncensored.
Uncensored, yeah. We did a good show earlier this morning could not have been.
But the good thing, the good news is that I used to do that kind of show, and I used to get in trouble a lot. So it's good. That
it's good. We're playing it by the numbers.
The cab Rafa. Yes. Good on you.
So
thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here, Dan, for Rafa and J Mike, who's still, you know, Jared's still working on his equipment. Yeah, still working on his problems. We'll see you guys maybe next week, maybe in a couple weeks. But we'll be ready for the draft. Yep, we'll be ready for the draft when it rolls around July 29th. We'll just see you next week on Wine and Gold Radio.
You're listening to Wine and Gold Radio.
Oh, Delhi!
Cleveland. You mean how come Quickie on WHK?
How come Bill Belichick coaches like, yeah.
Ohio.
Hello.
America.
I like it!
Whoa.